This morning's scripture reading will be coming from 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll read beginning in verse 1 through verse 4. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
It's good to see everyone here this morning. Thankful to the God of heaven who allows us to come before him in worship and in praise and in honor. We're thankful to him for sending his son. We're thankful for everyone who is here on this morning. This month, we're going to be talking about God's precious promises. On last month, we was talking about hope. The month before that, we talked about salvation. Or obedience, I'm sorry. The month before that, salvation. And so this month, we're going to be talking about God's precious promises. There's so many empty promises today people are given. As a matter of fact, when we think about some of the promises that some of our elected officials or some who want to be elected officials are making, they want to make the promises of free education, want to make the promise of free health care, they want to make the promise of defunding the police and things of that nature. We have people making these crazy promises just to get into the office, and, well, they cannot fulfill some of those promises. This is nothing new. We have individuals who have been given promises, and those promises were not fulfilled. Even Satan, or the serpent, rather, in the garden, gave Eve somewhat a promise. Thou shalt not surely die. Well, that promise didn't come to fruition. They died. They separated themselves from God. When we think about promises, one person said a broken promise hurts just as much as a lie. A broken promise hurts just as much as a lie. You don't just make them believe, you also make them hope. Some people make promises with no intentions on keeping them whatsoever. Another person said on one occasion, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant what you promised. Silly me." You know, sometimes people make promises and we believe them, and, well, we're the ones that's made out to be a fool because we believed the promise. Finally, false hope, false promises, yet real emotions. You know, we have to watch the promises we make, right? No wonder Jesus said on one occasion, "Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Give your word and mean what you say." One thing about God, God is one that keeps his promises. In Hebrews 6 and verse number 18, we know that God cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 13, and there you'll see something about God and about him keeping promises. "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." Can you imagine making a promise and there's no one above you to really vouch for it? So you have to vouch for it yourself. That's God. And when God makes a promise, make no mistake about it, God will fulfill his promise. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4, we find something very interesting about this particular text. Here, as it relates to the precious promises, notice the language here, "by which have been given to us." Notice how Peter, by inspiration, gives some great adjectives about these promises. Notice what he says: exceedingly great and precious.
exceeding the idea of abundant, great, the idea of mega, precious, the idea of held in high honor or esteem, especially dear, but promise or promises, a self-committal, by assurance of confirming or giving some good, an announce, that which is announced to furnish something or to do something. Literally, God made a public announcement to do what? To give us precious and great promises. And throughout time, God has made some public announcements that he has made good over time. Number one, when we think about God's precious promises, I want us to consider the promise of Jesus crushing Satan. The promise of Jesus crushing Satan. I want us to be thinking about that because God made a promise. He made a promise that it was going to be the seed of woman crushing the seed of the serpent or Satan. And friends, we have to ask ourselves, did God himself make that good? This is the first mentioning of Jesus the Christ. This is the first declaration of the Son of God. And so we have to ask ourselves, did God keep this promise? He did. He kept the promise because indeed there was a virgin that gave birth to Jesus the Christ. It was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. We also see this in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it was going to be Jesus who was going to be crushing Satan, the head of Satan. In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse number 14, if you will, turn your Bibles there. And friends, when God makes a promise, make no mistake about it, he will fulfill that promise. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise share in the same, that through death, where? On the cross, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. In 1 John 3 and verse number 8, that was the very reason of Jesus coming, was to take the power of death from the devil. Which means that we don't have to be afraid of dying because it is Jesus Christ that took the sting out of death. In Romans chapter 16 and verse number 20, notice what your Bible there says. Because even though Jesus took care of Satan on the cross, friends, he's going to take care of Satan for us shortly. In Romans chapter 16 and verse number 20, notice what Paul tells the church at Rome. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Friends, did you hear that, brothers and sisters in Christ? God will take care of our enemy. But we got to hang in there and believe in the promise that God has given us. Number two, the promise of Noah. When we consider the promise of Noah, God said some things that are very powerful. Turn to Genesis chapter 9. In Genesis chapter 9, as we hurriedly look at some of these promises, God keeps his word. I found it very interesting in the King James Version, God or the translator translates never again. Also in the King James Version says no more. But look at verse number 11 and verse 15 of chapter 9. God made a promise. What was that promise? In Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 11, he says, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. Drop down to verse 15. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. Question, has God kept his promise so far? You better believe he has. Oh, we see floods all of the time. Sometimes over near New Orleans, that Louisiana border on the particular waters there, you'll see 15, 20-foot surges. But you'll never see a surge that will cover up the universe again. Why? Because God made a promise. And the very fact that God made that promise, these are the promises that we ought to be making to our children. Our own children ought to know that God made a promise and he keeps his promises. But look at verse number 13. God made a promise and he made a covenant. He says, I will set my bow in the cloud, a rainbow, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Can I make a comment real quick? According to Ezekiel 1 and verse number 28, the rainbow belongs to God. It doesn't belong to the homosexual movement, the LGBTQT, whatever you want to put on the end of that. It doesn't belong to anyone else. It belongs to God. According to Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 3, do you understand that the rainbow is actually an extension from that which comes forth around the throne of God? Can you imagine that? God gave us a piece of what's around his throne. Go to Revelation 4, verse 3. Y'all act like y'all don't believe that point. Looking at me funny. In Revelation 4 and verse number 3, matter of fact, we'll start at verse number 2. Immediately I was in the spirit. This is John speaking. And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one who sat on the throne. He's talking about the Godhead, talking about Jesus the Christ. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Friends, did you see that? There was a rainbow around the throne. God gave us a piece of what's around him. No wonder you can never see where it's coming from. You can never see where the rainbow ends. God is a good God. And God has kept that covenant even to this day. And we have individuals who are always taking pictures of rainbows. And we stand in awe when we see the rainbow. The rainbow doesn't belong to those who are evil. It belongs to God. God made a covenant. Number 3. The promise to Abraham. We consider the promise that God made to Abraham, and it was given to him in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 7. God gave Abraham a land promise, a nation promise, and a seed promise. And he fulfills that land promise in the book of Joshua chapter 24. He fulfills the nation promise in Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 24. And he fulfills the seed promise in his son Solomon and ultimately in the person of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3 and verse number 16. Friends, God made a promise to Abraham and we are beneficiaries of that promise. In Galatians chapter 3, turn your Bibles there and look at verse 16. I meant to tell you before I got started that my introduction was going to be about 40 minutes long. At least that's what I told Stephen. I say I got about 6 or 7 minutes of preaching, but you got to go through 40 minutes of introduction. And so let's see if I can keep that promise. Probably not, but then again, we'll try. In verse number 16, notice what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now notice the language here. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. Notice how the Bible makes a clear distinction and an argument for the singularity of the seed. He wasn't talking about Israel as a nation, but he was talking about the seed. Notice, who is Christ? The promise was made to Abraham, but the promise was made to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was going to be that seed. And friends, we can trust God. We can trust him that he did keep the promise to Abraham. And when the very fact that he kept that promise to Abraham, we're beneficiaries of that promise. Look at Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. We are beneficiaries of the promise that he made to Abraham. For you are all sons or children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For if many of you that has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have you been baptized into Christ? If you have, keep noticing this point. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For we're all one in Christ Jesus. Notice how God takes care of all of the lives matter right there in that one verse. Right there in that one verse. He takes care of everything right there. But then notice the very last verse. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis 12 and fulfilled it in Genesis 21 with the birth of Isaac. And then how Abraham, he believed in the promise. Friends, we're beneficiaries of the promise that he made to Abraham. Number four, God made a promise to David. You see these promises, Brother Brian? God is one who makes promises. After all three that we have covered already, he has kept every single one of those promises. Can I make a little bit of an application? Do you ever make promises and you don't keep them? Friends, let's keep the promises that we make. Let's make sure that when we tell someone that we're going to do something, let's try our best to get it done. God made a promise to David in 2 Samuel chapter 12, chapter 7, verses 12 through 14, and 1 Kings 2 and verse number 24. God made a promise to David. He made a seed promise. He made a kingdom promise. He made a house promise. What do you mean by that? The seed promise would be in his son Solomon, ultimately Jesus Christ. The kingdom promise would be the royal lineage that Jesus Christ would come through, Matthew 1, verses 1 through 18. The house promise would be the church, 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 15. If I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to obey yourself how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. God made a promise to David, and God kept that promise, and he fulfilled it in the person of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through verse number 32, we find this kingdom promise, this throne promise being fulfilled. In Acts chapter 2, starting at verse number 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. It's interesting that God told David, when you are dead and you sleep with your fathers, meaning you are buried, I'm going to raise up a seed after you. He certainly did that. He certainly did that because it was Solomon who was king before David actually died. But it was Jesus who was going to be king after David died. Notice what he goes on to say. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Friends, did you see that? He raised Christ up to sit on his throne, that royal promise, that kingdom promise, and God fulfilled it in the person of Jesus Christ. Question, can we trust God? Can we trust his precious promises? We haven't even gotten to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 yet. Number 5, God made a promise to restore Israel. Israel and Jacob are the same people. You remember when Jacob was wrestling with that angel in Genesis chapter 32, verses 28. In Genesis 35 and verse 10, God changed the name of Jacob, supplanter, to Israel, prince with God. One thing about God, he loves changing names. When you change your state, he changes your name. That's a good point right there. I don't see why people want to keep the same name in Christ. God gave us a name. It's called Christian. You don't have to keep your name. You take on Christ's name. Here, Jacob was wrestling with the angel. And as he is wrestling with the angel, he says, I will not let you go until you bless me. He said, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He finally tells the truth. He's not Esau. He's Jacob. And because he tells the truth, he has the right mindset now. God is going to do a magnificent work. And now he's going to make them a great nation. In Isaiah chapter 2, 2 and 3, God promised to restore Israel. And all nations shall flow unto it. It was going to be God that was going to be sending the nation of Israel a comforter in Isaiah 66 and verse number 13. God would promise the nation of Israel in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, that I'm going to give you a new covenant. No longer will I lead you by the hand, but now if you're going to be a follower of me, you got to learn and then follow me instead of being born into the Jewish family and taught God. Now you got to be taught God, Brother Raphael, and follow me. And then what did God do? God fulfilled that promise in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 47. Acts chapter 8 with those in Samaria. Acts chapter 10 with those who were Gentiles in Cornelius. Mike, what's your point? God keeps his promises, and they're precious promises. God kept his promise by sending a comforter in the person of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, 25, John 15, 25, and John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak of himself, but he, talking about that Holy Spirit, he's going to be a comforter. And no wonder when we read God's word, it's a comfort unto us. God will give a new covenant, Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 13. Number 6, I find it very interesting that God promised, gave a promise of miraculous empowerment. What do you mean by this? As we stated before, Jesus and the Father promised the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles into all the truth. When people want to say that they are receiving revelation from God, even to this day, they're making God out to be a liar. Because Jesus told his disciples that the Holy Spirit was going to guide you into all of the truth. If God is still revealing truth outside of the Bible, God lied and God didn't keep his promise, because Jesus told his disciples that the Holy Spirit was going to guide you into all of the truth. And no wonder 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We stop and you think about the promise that God made is fulfilled in the apostles. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Look at Acts 2 and verse 33. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 33, we understand that God was going to be sending the Holy Spirit. God was going to be making sure that the apostles received the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2 and verse number 33, notice what the Bible here says. This Jesus, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father, notice, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Do you know that what the apostles were preaching and teaching was the promise that God, that Jesus Christ, made to his apostles? Go to Jerusalem and wait for power from on high, Mark 9, verse 1. What's the point, Brother Mike? The point is that God made a promise and that God kept his promise, and we can trust him. We can trust God. When you can't trust no one else, you can trust Jehovah. You can trust Jesus. You can trust the word of God. Number 7, the promise of the kingdom. The promise of the kingdom. In Daniel 2 and verse number 44, notice what the Bible there says. It's during the time of Daniel, remember, in Babylonian captivity, he's standing before King Nebuchadnezzar. It was part of that great dream that was interpreted by Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar had. And notice what is said here in Daniel 2 and verse number 44. And in the days of these kings, talking about the kingdom of Rome, really, but it would be the Medo-Persians, the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, then the Grecians, and then next it would be the Romans. But in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Friends, did you hear that, brothers and sisters in Christ? The kingdom. But what is the kingdom that Daniel prophesied that will never be destroyed, and that it will crush kingdoms? In Matthew chapter 16, and verse 18 and 19, Jesus would prophesy himself of the kingdom of God, the church. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. I will give you the keys to the kingdom, Brother Brian, which tells us that the church of Christ and the kingdom of God are one and the same. And if you're a member of the Lord's church, that means you're a part of the kingdom of God. Turn to Luke chapter 17. In Luke 17, 20 and 21, this particular prophecy, Jesus is making himself. Here, they're looking for this external kingdom. They're looking for an army. And friends, people are still looking for an army now. When it comes to the people of God, Jesus said something very powerful. In verse number 20 and 21, now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. I mean, it's not something that you're going to see. Nor will they say, see here or see there. And notice what Jesus says. For indeed, the kingdom of God is where? It's in you. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom, friends, that is in the mind. It's an idea. And no wonder when we think about the kingdom, the called out ones, the servants of God, the pupils of Jesus Christ. No wonder in Colossians 1 in verse number 13, notice what your Bible there says. I told you it'd be about 45, 50 an hour and 10 minutes. In Colossians chapter 1 in verse number 13, this is why we got to obey the gospel. This is why it's so important to be a member of the Lord's church. Why? Because God is one who makes promises. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and make no mistake about it, there's power in darkness, and conveyed us, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Friends, did you see that? Did God keep his promise? Did Jesus actually establish the kingdom? Did he build the church? Yes, he did. In James 2 and verse number 5, notice what James, our brother in Christ, has to say. In James 2 and verse number 5, notice what the Bible here says. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he what? What did God do? He promised to those who love him. God keeps his promises. The question is this: do we believe in his precious, precious promises? God has proven himself over and over and over again. Number eight, the promise of the second coming of Christ to judge. Jesus prophesies of the Son of Man coming in Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46. And those standing on the right and those on the left, the sheep and the goat, and he's judging them, and God has given all judgment to the Son, John 5, 21 and 22. In Acts 17, verse number 30, here Paul, by inspiration, reiterates these very ideas. Truly, these times of ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why, Paul? Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Friends, do we believe that? By the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. You can put other passages in your notes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. We understand that God is going to keep his promise. And this is a promise that he hasn't kept yet. But make no mistake about it, he's going to keep it. In John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, notice what your Bible says. Now, this is a very interesting concept. John 5, 28 and 29, notice what the Bible here says. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, meaning it hasn't came yet, in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Friends, this hasn't happened yet. Yet, Jesus is going to judge all men. Number nine, the promise of the new heavens and the new earth. You know, that's a promise. God promised us a new heaven and a new earth. Don't want to spend a lot of time in this, but if you go back and you read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, God here makes a promise. But look at verse number 9 of 2 Peter chapter 3. And 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, notice some was mocking the promise that God made, as if God had not kept his promise up to this point. Friends, let us never, ever fall prey to wavering on the promises of God. That's, God keeps his promises. In 2 Peter 3, in verse number 9, notice what the Bible here says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Praise be to God that he has given us time. He's merciful, as Brother Raphael said in his prayer, that God, you're merciful unto us. You give us time. And when we think about Jesus Christ not coming back yet, he hasn't come back to this particular point. You know what he's doing? God has given us more time. But he promised a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 21, verses 1 and following. God is faithful to give us the crown of life, eternal life, resurrection of life. Friends, God is faithful. Number 10, the perfect law of liberty. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10, Paul, as he is inspired by the Holy Spirit, talks about miracles ceasing and how supernatural tongues and prophesying and knowledge will come to a halt. It will no longer be. Why? Because of the perfect law of liberty, James 1 and verse number 25. Notice Jude 3. In Jude 3, we find something very interesting. God no longer needs to perform miracles. You have individuals who think that God is still performing miracles. That baby was born, it was a miracle. They survived death, it was a miracle. Friends, according to Mark chapter 16 and verse number 20, a miracle is to confirm the word of God. Because we have the word of God, we don't need miracles like what we find in the word of God today. Jude 3. Jude says something, beloved. While I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I find it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. Watch it now. Which was once for all delivered to the saints. Friends, did you get that, brothers and sisters in Christ? We have the word of God in our hand. In 300, the word of God was out. It was formulated. The next thing you know, we have the printing press, and we have everyone able to have their own personal copy of God's word. We no longer need anyone to come down here and tell us what to do. God has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness through knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I said all of that for us to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4 again. Brother Mikey said, oh, that just to say this. Yeah. Because next week, I'll be in Ackerley, Texas, and Brother Brian will be preaching on the promises of God. Because with everything that's going on around us, with all of the negativity and despondency and all of the sicknesses and don't know what's going on around us at times, don't know who to trust. Friends, we need to know that God has a great track record. We need to know that God, when he gives his word, he will keep it. We need to know that his promises are precious. And because they are precious, we need to trust him. In the midst of hell or high water, we trust God. Doesn't matter what comes our way, whether it is heart problems, whether it is health problems, whether it is money problems, whether it is friendship problems, it doesn't matter what problem we have, we go to God. We trust him. God will never leave us nor forsake us. God will always keep his promises. God will never, ever allow us to die spiritually if we stay faithful unto him. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. Again, notice what he says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, through what? Through what? The precious promises, friends. Through these, Brother Jerry, notice, we may be partakers. We can have involvement. We can have intimacy. We can have communion. With who? With the divine nature. That's God. Friends, you can't make this up. You can't read this in some secular book. It's because of the precious promises, Brother Nate. I can trust God. God will never leave me. He will never forsake me. And notice what he goes on to say, having escaped. This is the gospel message right here. The corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you know that every man is drawn away by his own lust and enticed? That's why we have to watch out for lust. Because lust leads us away from God. But righteousness leads us toward God. So since God has proven himself to be a keeper of his promises, let us not waver in unbelief. In Romans chapter 4 and verse number 20, notice what the Bible says about Abraham. In Romans chapter 4 and verse number 20, when I saw this morning as I was sitting in the backyard looking at my green grass, I'm saying, boy, this is good stuff right here. I got to add this. This is how these lessons get long. You just start adding stuff. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 20. Notice what the Bible here says. He, talking about Abraham, did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. But what? But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Hold on. Abraham, you believe God? I sure did. I believed everything that God had to say. Look at Hebrews 6 and verse number 15. In Hebrews 6 and verse number 15, this is an addition to that particular idea in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. In Hebrews 6 and verse number 15, notice what the Bible here has to say. And so, after he had patiently, talking about Abraham, look at verse 13. Let me add this. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessings, I will bless you and multiply, and I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, hold on. Abraham, you had to endure? You had to go through some things? Yes. One thing about the promises of God, they're worth enduring. They're worth going through whatever you need to go through. Why? Because God is going to keep his promise, which means that if I need to control my lust, I need to do that. I need to stay faithful, I need to do that. If I need to stay away from drinking, I need to do that. If I need to stay away from drugs, I need to do that. If I need to treat my brethren right, I need to do that. I need to patiently endure. He obtained the promise. He got what he desired from God because he trusted God. But unfortunately, in Hebrews 3, verse number 12 and 19, you had those who didn't trust in the promises. And because of unbelief, Brother Chad, they didn't enter into the promised land. Friends, let's trust God. God will provide for us spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. If we just remain prayerful, if we meditate upon his word, if we stay with the promises. And friends, make no mistake about it. When God gives a promise, he will keep it. So what has God promised us? In Acts 2, in verse number 36. Now let the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Said to Peter, repent. Peter said unto them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice this. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What promise? The promise of life eternal. The promise of being with God throughout eternity.
And just as the Samaritans would receive the promise in Acts 8 and the Gentiles would receive the promise in Acts chapter 10, friends, we can receive that promise of eternal life with God. But we can't waver in unbelief. We can't waver with false doctrine. We can't waver with immorality. We can't waver. We got to stay with God. And so it doesn't matter what the masses do. It doesn't matter what many will do. Just as few be there that find it, let us be the few. And that will be enough. Why? Because when God makes a promise, you take that check to the bank, it's going to cash. He has a whole bunch of money in that bank. So God says, I'm going to give you life. Trust me. Father, we trust you here. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ as your Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will do something magnificent in your life. He will cleanse you from all your past sins. He will set you on the course of eternal life. The only thing you have to do is be thou faithful unto death. And I'll give you the crown of life. Maybe a child of God, you're taking your focus off of the promises. Friends, I'm just giving you 10 of them. That God kept every last one of them besides one so far. That's Jesus Christ coming back. But make no mistake about it, if he kept those 9, he'll keep that 1. He'll keep it, Mike. So we got to stay faithful as we stand and as we sing.